In a way, our graduates are beginning a journey. For some, it's going to be going off to college. For some, it's going off into that career. Some, it's getting that job. Maybe some, the military, you know, not just our folks here, but throughout our area. We've got folks, they're starting something. They're moving in a new direction. And that can, for parents and grandparents, that gets you sometimes with a whole salad of emotions. You know, you're sad, you're proud, things are changing, and things are different. And so I think our text this morning is a good one to visit and think about, whether we see our children and grandchildren, you know, doing something new, or whether you're one of those that's getting ready to do something new, to move into a new phase of life. I think we've got something here for us. So if you want to turn to Mark chapter 4, beginning in 35, it says, "That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet. Be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified, and they asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" A few lessons for us to take away from this passage. Here's one for us. Following Jesus is going to take you places. If you have chosen, if you've decided to follow Jesus, you're going to go places. Some of you already know that. Some of you may be contemplating, do I want to really follow Jesus? You need to know and understand. It will take you places. In Acts 13, verse 2, we read the story. The church in Antioch had Paul and Barnabas in their midst, these folks who were teaching a lot about the scriptures and helping this Gentile church understand what it meant to be followers of Christ. And there came a moment, it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" And that led to a journey throughout Greece and Macedonia and parts of Asia Minor. And since that time, followers of Jesus have been going all sorts of places. They've gone to China. They've gone to Africa. They've gone to Asia. They've gone to India. They've gone to Europe. They've gone all over the place in a call, in a response to what God wants them to do, to tell the good news of Jesus. But you don't have to go far away to go to a new place. Sometimes it might just be the call is to go next door or across the street or across the room and strike up a conversation with somebody, to give an invitation to an event, to a worship service, to coffee. But if you're going to follow Jesus, it will take you to new places. I started out in California, packed up a little Orange Vega, moved to Missouri to go to school. From Missouri, I came to Indiana. I never would have put that on my map at one point. Could barely spell Indiana, let alone find it on the map. But their new play went to a new place that started when I started following Jesus. So sometimes we go to physical places. Here's another verse to look at. 1 Peter 2:2. "Like newborn babies," Peter writes, "crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. One of the things that we often do is we think things are only spiritual, but there is a sense in here of growing up in our salvation that has a emotional and mental growth aspect to it. So sometimes we go someplace new physically. Sometimes we confront emotional and mental growth challenges. As you grow in Christ, as you come across new experiences, sometimes you're going to be in an uncomfortable situation. You're going to have to work through a relationship. You're going to have hard conversations. You're going to have to learn how to listen. You're going to have to learn how to put yourself second instead of first, how to put others' needs in front of your own. And that's all emotional and mental growth that needs to take place. Whether you're just starting out or you've been at this for decades. Excuse me, 1 second. Sometimes you're going to get a cough. Excuse me. So we have these moments. We have to be prepared to go to new places. But listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy. It's peace. It's forbearance or patience. It's kindness. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness and self-control. These are spiritual things that God is calling us to. And so some of the new places that we're going to, they're going to be new locations. Sometimes they're going to be some personal growth issues, but they're always going to have a spiritual side to them that we need to embrace, that we need to be prepared for. We're called to transform, to not stay as we are. And if we're following Jesus, we've got to be prepared to go. Now, here's a warning for us. The journey may, but let's scratch that, because sometimes we think that. Let's scratch it. The journey will get rough. It will. One of my favorite movies, Princess Bride, has a great line. Life is pain. Life is hard. Life has its moments that'll cut you right here to the heart. That'll turn your stomach upside down. That'll give you a lot of headaches. It is that way. And anybody who says there's a way to avoid all of that is telling you something that isn't real. Listen to Jesus. He says, I have told you these things. This is the Gospel of John. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. That sounds good, right? In this world, you will have, say that word with me, trouble. You will. Not may, you not might, you will have trouble. But he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The promise is not that if you follow Jesus, you will become healthy, wealthy, and wise. The promise is that if you follow Jesus, he will be with you. He will give you a peace, even in the midst of stormy seasons. We cannot lose that. When we think that what we're getting is a pain-free life, a problem-free life, if we follow Jesus, we will be sorely disappointed and we'll be tempted to walk away from it. But if we understand that what he has called us to is something bigger, bolder, better than ourselves, we'll be better prepared for that part of the journey. There's a moment where Jesus, in the midst of that storm, after he's calmed it down, says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And I'm sure many of the disciples were saying, why are we so afraid? Did you not see the waves? Oh yeah, that's right, you were sleeping. Of course we're afraid. Of course we are. When I was 5, 6, and 7, we moved from Southern California to Florida. And while we were there, my dad thought it'd be good if we had a boat, because we lived on the coast. And he thought, let's get a boat. There's one problem for me in that. I didn't know how to swim. And so being out on the water frightened me completely. And I have images that are still in my mind, huddling down near the bow, which is at the front, stern at the back, just afraid. Cowering. Waiting. pleading for it to be over. Why are you so afraid? Because something bad could happen. But here's what Jesus wants us to see. He calls us to faith in the midst of our fear. He calls us to exhibit faith, not to remove fear, but in the moment of fear, to exercise faith. Now, how can he do that? There are a few things that we see here. Remember, he said this as they were getting in the boat. Let's go over to the other side. Let's go over to the other side. What's he doing? He's setting the course. He said, this is what we're going to do, guys. We're going over here. He didn't say we might. Let's attempt. Let's try. He said, we're going over there. And so he has no doubt about getting over there because he is living out the will of the Father in this moment, and he knows he's not going to drown in the middle of that lake. So where is Jesus in the midst of this storm as it pops up? Well, he's in the stern. He's in the back. But where is he? He's in the boat. He's physically there, present with them. And yet they're still afraid. So if Jesus, who you don't see in a physical presence today, if you still find yourself being afraid in the midst of a storm, you're still in pretty good company. Because people who had him right there in the boat, they were still afraid. But the call to them is still the call to us, and that is to have faith, to have trust, to believe that he's going to get us from point A to point B. That if you are living within his will, if you are following him, and if he has set a direction for your life, that he's going to get you from that place to that place. You and I are been around long enough to know this. Sometimes that new place is in his presence. Out of this life. But then face to face with him. That's still not a bad place to be, even though it hurts us on this side. We still have that comfort, that strength, that as he sets the course and he leads us to places, even if that place ends in death, we are with him. We have this promise for us today. Jesus said in Matthew 28, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So where is Jesus in your storm? He is with you. Wherever you are at, whatever you're going through, he is with you. He has not abandoned you. Just because the storm is raging doesn't mean you have been abandoned. It doesn't mean you have been forgotten. It doesn't mean that he does not care. He is still with you, just as he was with the disciples in the boat, even as the storm raged around them. What does that make a difference for us? Let's remember in verse 39, he said, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said, quiet, be still. And the disciples are amazed. Who is this guy? You know, they'd seen him heal people. And yet this is like a whole new level for them that he can even tell the elements what to do. This is brand new. And it tells us this, he is able. Scripture says he is able to complete the work that he began in you. For those of you who followed Jesus, began to follow Jesus, he's able to see you through all the way to the end. To maturity in Christ. He is able to do far more, immeasurably more than you can even begin to imagine, Scripture says. There is nothing that can come between you and the love of Christ. He is able to cover any distance, any depth, any height. He is able. And so when you ask yourself, where is Jesus in that? What is his role in all of this? Remind yourself of this. He is with you, setting the course, and he is able to see you through to the other side of wherever you're going, even if that's just over to the other side of the street. Whatever he is calling you to do, he is able, he is with you. You're not alone. Hebrews 7:25, we see this. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. You hear that? What's he doing? What's interceding? He's praying. He's talking to God, the Father, on your behalf. So whatever is going on in your life, even now as you're sitting there, probably totally unaware of it, he is interceding for you. Whatever your storm looks like right now, maybe your storm is a health problem. You've gotten a diagnosis. It didn't sound very good. Or maybe there are rumblings at your work about layoffs. Or maybe you've already gotten that work. Maybe you're having relationship breakdowns. Maybe school is not going the way you really hoped. Whatever it might be, whatever challenge it is, know this, that whatever you're facing, he is interceding for you. He is for you, not against you. And it takes faith to recognize that, and then the rest of it. But here's a question I have for you this morning. If you can picture Jesus in his boat, and you're on the shoreline, will you get in the boat? Will you cross over to the lake with him? Will you go to where he wants to take you? In his gospel, Matthew records a couple of conversations that took place just prior to them getting in the boat. You know, we've looked at Mark. Mark has kind of an abbreviated gospel. It doesn't include everything that Matthew and Luke and even John include. When we get this real interesting little conversation that takes place. It says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher." So you get this. They're getting ready to go. You know, they're getting ready. They're all getting in the boats or near the boats. And this fellow comes up and says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And then another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Now, there are two things that we get from this. First off, we're told we need to count the cost. You can hear probably there's a little bit of bragging, a little bit of, "Jesus, I will follow where you, wherever you go." He said, "Are you ready to do that?" He said, "Because it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy journey. I'm not going to just one place." Have you counted the cost? Graduates have to count the cost on a regular basis. If they're thinking about college, got to count that cost. What's it going to cost me to go to school? Some graduates are thinking about military. What's that going to cost? Some about, you know, "I'm going to get into a trade, I'm getting a job. What's that going to cost me to do that?" Even if it doesn't cost you financially, every choice that we make costs us something else that we don't get to do. So we have to count that cost. We have to decide, am I in this for the long run? Some graduates getting out of college, now they got to decide, where do I want to live? Where do I want to move? Am I willing to move to get a job? Am I willing to leave family behind? Am I willing to do that, to pursue a dream? I got to count that cost. And if we decide to follow Jesus, we have to count the cost as well. And he's trying to tell us there is a cost. And if you want to follow Jesus, you have to pick up your cross in order to do so. If you want to be his servant, you've got to be willing to be the servant of all. If you want to be have your life, you've got to be willing to lay down your life. He says, count your cost. And then we've got to act. Now, when you read this part about this dead burying their own dead, understand the man's father is not laying on a slab somewhere dead waiting to be buried. What he is saying is, wait until my father dies, and then I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. And he represents the fact that we oftentimes make these things and we kind of put off and we say, you know, wait till I get done with college, then I'll follow you. Wait till I get my business up and going, then I'll follow. Wait till I do this, wait till I do this, and someday I'll get to it. When the season's right, when the time's right, then I'll begin to follow Jesus. And we keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And so there has to be a moment. Not only do we need to count the cost, there comes a moment when we need to act. When we need to commit. When we need to say, I'm in the boat. Whenever I hear a sales pitch, when somebody says, look, here's the table. Here's the offer on the table right now. If you buy it at this price, that's great. But you got to tell me right now. Right now. My first response is, well, okay, see ya. I don't respond to that. I don't like that at all. And this is not what Jesus is saying here. He doesn't have one of these, act now or forever. But there are legitimate limited time offers, aren't there? If you go and get a quote from a contractor, it'll say this price for this long. Then we might have to rebid because prices may go up on our end, so we've got to do it. And in a sense, we have a limited time offer, an offer that exists while we are drawing breath in our own bodies, while we have the capacity to decide. Now, it's good to ask questions if you have questions, to look for evidence if you have doubts, to pursue all that, but pursue it. If you're not convinced, what do you need to be convinced? Go after that. At some point in time, you have to say, I'm going after this. I'm going to know for sure one way or the other. I'm going to make a decision. What will I do? At some point in time, we have to decide, will I get in the boat? In your program, there's an insert with a number of options here for you to look at. And I tried to think of different places that we might be. A number of you are an immersed believer. And maybe this morning you would just like to reaffirm that. Just, yeah, I'm in. Maybe some of you, you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, but you've never been immersed. And you're ready to take that step. That is so clearly laid out in Scripture. Maybe you haven't decided to follow Jesus, but you're ready to follow Jesus and be immersed, and you want to pursue that. Or maybe you're one of those you're still seeking. You still have questions. But you'd like us to talk to you and see if we can get you answers to your questions. Maybe you're already an immersed believer following Jesus, and you'd like to be a part of Ellisville Christian Church. You want to commit as a member. What I'd like you to do is find which of those things is you, if you're ready. And then we have up here an exact replica of the boat that Jesus traveled in for a limited time offer. Now we have a little boat here. And it's just a symbol, just stand in. But here's what I think: every now and then we just need to say, yeah, I'm in. I'm in. And so here's what we're going to do. In just a few moments, we're going to sing a song. And what I invite you to do is fill out that little insert. And at whatever point you're ready, just come up and put it in the boat and say, yeah, I'm in. I'm in. I also know that some of you, you've got some stormy weather in your lives right now. And so we have the elders and some other folks who are going to be up here. And they're going to be available to pray with you. And you just come on over and pray. And let them pray with you about the storm that you're in. That you might have the peace, even in the midst of the storm. So whatever's going on in your life, I just invite you to consider and decide, where am I at in relation to following Jesus? Because the place I really hope that you won't be is standing on the shore and seeing Jesus sailing off into the sunset. But rather, you're in the boat with him. I know, when you're in the boat, you know, the Sea of Galilee is not so big that you can't see the shore from shore to shore. You can see it if it's not stormy. When those storms come up in that place, this is below sea level. And when those storms come up, they come up fast and furious. And when you're in the middle of one of those storms, you cannot see the shore. But let me suggest to you that even though as the disciples, they couldn't see the shore, they could still see Jesus. And that story tells us we can put our hope and our faith in Jesus, even if we can't see the shore right now. So where are you at? What do you want to decide? How do you want to act? What step do you want to take to get into the boat with Jesus? Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, our greatest hope is Jesus. And the greatest place to be is with Jesus. And in a way, we're saying, I want to get in the boat, and another way, we're saying, Jesus, I want you in the boat with me. You don't promise us storm-free lives. You don't promise us a life without any pain, without any struggle. But you do promise us your presence, your calming presence. And so we pray for that right now. And help us as we seek to make decisions. As we seek to decide, are we going to get in the boat or not get in the boat? Are we in or are we out? To decide, where am I with you, Jesus? I pray your Spirit would speak to each of us, Father, on what we need to do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.